The Sober Sojourn's 12 Steps and Passport Stamps podcast features recovered men and women who are practicing members of Alcoholics Anonymous. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous or any 12-step program. We are friends gathered to discuss our experience in recovery. The discussions in this podcast represent our own individual experiences and opinions as of today. You can reach us at our email address, which is sobersojournspodcast@gmail.com, or on Instagram at OyveAA and Such a Sally. We would love to hear from you. Our aim is to try to be helpful by sharing the realities of our recovery, how we have recovered and are trudging the road of happy destiny wherever we go.
Pirate Mike and Oy Vey AA presents the Sober Sojourns 12 Steps and Passport Stamps podcast.
Hello. Good to see you again. This is Pirate Mike.
Hi, I'm Oy Vey.
And we're back on Sober Sojourns. I totally messed that up. And you were relying on me to like take off smoothly, but here we are.
Well, it was our damn fault because English is not my first language and it's not your first language, right? Or am I?
It's my
is
first
it
language.
Correct to say? Is it?
But it's okay because nobody, like everybody's surprised whenever they hear that. But yeah, and so I know that one of the things I'm trying to convince you to do is a future episode where we talk about that, because I have met several people who say the same thing. Like, since English is something that they learned when they think or dream or whatever like that, you know, it's an entirely different language and culture that's in their head. And I don't like have a waking appreciation for whatever that switch is like. It's very fascinating to me, but that's not what we're talking about.
I mean, but it is interesting though. I do have to touch on that. Like, I don't know. Yes, you're 100% right. But also I just use it as an excuse when I make like mistakes or when I fuck up and things I say, I'm like, oh no, I didn't mean it like that. You know, sometimes I say things and they sound a certain way. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's actually not the way I meant. But at this point, me saying my English isn't like my first language, it's just an excuse. I'm just tired. Right. Like, I've been speaking English all day. And I told you, oh, I'm so tired of speaking English the whole day. No, you're just tired. Like, it's not, I don't know how much computing power it takes, but I guess we'll see by the end of this episode.
Yeah. It's not the first time I've had that conversation. And so, like, so this episode is, you know, we rolled the dice, spun the bottle, whatever you want to, like the scientific way of selecting our topics, right? And so we're going with Minority Report, which came out of a conversation that we had before. And I think it kind of, it does kind of pivot off or tangent off of like what we're talking about here. So like I've mentioned a few times, how I grew up in an international school and English is my first language. And so, you know, for example, moving from the Philippines to the US, I fully expected that I would be able to integrate into culture seamlessly, because in my head, I'm like, you know, I speak like you and I think like you and we watch the same content or whatever. And so we'll be able to get along, but, you know, that is not the case. And this extends to like my recovery experience, wherein I often forgot that when I walk into a room, filled with people of another race and color, like they see me as being very different, and I'm marginally aware of our differences, but I don't see it like quite as drastically as they do. And it happens here too. Actually, I'll just, you know, for the language thing, like I'll talk like this to people that I know in the fellowship here and just talk, like kind of like one of our other friends. You know, I'll speak really fast when I'm excited. And then one friend I remember said that she was kind of exhausted at the end of the conversation. She's like, I've been trying to catch up and think about what you're saying in English for so long, and I'm getting tired. And I was like, oh, that's a thing.
I say,
you know,
it's funny.
And it happens in the States too, but similar to what you're saying, like I'll talk, and then there are phrases or ways of using even English here that I guess don't translate in the US. And so I think I'm speaking like pure American English, but I'm not. They're like, why would you say things in like a certain way? You know, like that's not a thing here.
I mean, we are planning to do like the translations of the Big Book episode at some point because it is a fascinating thing, and anyone who knows me knows I'm a language and like just I'm a nerd when it comes to linguistics. But yeah, it seems like there's the cultural gap, even if you do speak a perfect English, which you do because it's your first language, and shame on me, you know. But then you just have other people's perception of you, and you become something that you kind of never knew you were. I don't know if I can explain it really. I think, oh God, this is gonna be like a heavy episode. Even though I just want to make jokes, can I just make a joke? Can I just say, like, when you talk, the first, like, the only thing I notice now is your soundproofing.
Oh, that's fine.
You want to explain why the soundproofing is so important for me and for our friendship?
Why is it important? Oh, why is it important to you? I think because it's been a running joke, like for the time in the time that we've known each other, you've probably seen it in a certain stage of like incomplete. And you've mercilessly teased me about that at a
Publicly and
public
what?
level. Yeah, exactly.
Quite a public level.
And I've completed the project. So it was the inspiration I needed, apparently.
No, you did, and I feel God in that, you know, for sure, 100%. But I do wonder now, as I'm looking at Pirate Mike's soundproofing, and you can look at yourself through Zoom the way you look right now. Do you feel like there's
Often.
more missing? Look at yourself often. No, listen, don't you think there's more missing here on top and on the bottom, or?
I, from a practical perspective, I don't. And if we zoom out, you know, to this entire office, all you'd see is like this strip of soundproofing in one area or across one wall, and that's it. I guess I could go like a level up or a level down, but then it'll just get in the way. What I mean is I will literally be bumping into soundproofing panels, and that's not really what I want. Oh, I'm so happy. This is gonna fuck with you forever. I can shift the
Just,
camera.
I don't know. Let me tell you, just look at your copy of the Serenity Prayer that is out of frame, but I know is there.
Hidden. Hidden just out of frame.
And you just see what comes up for you, you know. I had a sponsor ask me what you know, how do you he asked me a few days ago. And yes, I sponsor men, fuck you. I literally had this old timer come up to me and be like, as I was doing a 12-step conversation with someone, and he interrupted the conversation. And he was like, "Men sponsor men and women sponsor women." I'm like, "Okay."
Bullshit.
He literally did that, dude. Anyway, the point of the story is, regardless of my resentment, which I, you do four comms about, but is that he asked me, "Oh, like, how do you meet God?" And I'm like, well, you know, it's your own personal thing. So I'm like, whatever it comes to your soundproofing, you know, it's your own thing between yourself and God and whoever is listening to this podcast. You know that this is an ongoing issue,
Yes.
and we're gonna address it. But what is this episode about again? I feel
Every
like this.
time you're bothered by my soundproofing, just remember that there are three fingers pointed back at you at all times.
Can we do a whole weird AA slogans, but with like finger movements? Like with hand
That.
movements,
You can do
you
that.
know? Oh man.
My favorite now is the knife hand because that counteracts that slogan so easily. Because it's like when I do this and I speak to you, not
Oh,
only
like
is
an
it
open
authority,
palm.
right? There are no fucking fingers pointed back at me ever. And so it is fully, it's fully
And
yours
also,
to receive.
you can also do the little fist with the thumb, and then you're like Asian Barack Obama, and
Oh
you're my
yeah. I get it. I get it.
I
Asian Barack
vibe.
Obama, how dare you?
Dude, we're way past that point.
I'm gonna start trying to work that in, even though it's useless in this podcast, unless we start releasing the video.
That I felt like I I feel like, oh, this is becoming too serious too quick. Let me just talk about your soundproofing for 5 minutes. Okay, but let me get back on topic. I do think that I had the experience where I don't know how to explain it. Like, yes, you feel very foreign, right? You all of a sudden become a minority, but it almost strengthened my identity. Did you experience that in the States,
Strengthen.
or was it trying to like, do you find yourself trying to integrate, which I think we all do, right? But there's this other thing where I feel like it strengthened my identity, the fact that I was all of a sudden the minority and I had to strengthen my identity as a Jewish woman. And I feel like I feel way more Jewish than I felt back home, which is interesting.
How and why? I'm so curious.
Well, I think in Israel, because the majority of the people who live in Israel are Jewish, you kind of take it for granted that the country and everything about it is kind of, can suit that lifestyle. Or, and then when I left, I was like, oh, it made me feel more like that part of myself, and I had to actively work on it. I don't know. Does that make sense?
I can actually relate. Ties in this thing, like experiences that I shared in previous episodes, to try to debunk the myths, so to speak, about what it's like to live and grow up in the Philippines, like when I'm abroad, right? That strengthened my identity in a sense, because I was like, no, actually, it's not like this. Like, living here is this way, or Filipinos are that way. And so, yeah, like at the same time that I'm integrating into, whatever larger society that is, like in the US, I'm also solidifying my identity as a person from another country. I think so. And it's weird, right? It comes out in little ways. Like, I was talking to somebody here about some tattoo work that I got, right? Like some,
You have
right?
tattoos?
Some, just a little bit. And they're like, why, like, why did you get those ones, which were more in like a Filipino tribal style? And it was difficult for them to understand. I was like, well, I was living abroad for so long, and I, you want to call it homesickness or something. Like, I just wanted to solidify my identity in a way, and market, because it's something that I'm interested in. And they're like, okay. So it's almost like I'm having a conversation with somebody in the Philippines about having Filipino tribal tattoos, and they don't understand why I would do that to myself when I'm living on mother soil. But it makes so much sense. It made so much sense when I was an immigrant, at least in my head.
The tattoo thing makes me laugh because when you're Jewish, you're like you're not allowed to get them.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I have them, right?
What
It's
does that
fine.
mean? Somebody told me I can't be buried in like a proper cemetery, and I was like, that's okay, because I'm not Jewish.
Oh, God, I just feel like it's such a, it's true, but it's also false. Like, it's not,
It's true, but
like
it's
it
also
really de
false.
yeah, like all things in life, it depends on where and when and circumstances, and it's mostly, No, it's fine. I'll be buried with the rest of my family. It's okay. I'm gonna be fine. Soon, I hope, if I don't have more coffee. But soon, if I don't have more coffee, you see, it's the English. It's happening. But no, I get what you're saying. There's a thing of the strengthened, right? As I mentioned, like the strengthened identity, the wanting to be closer to it. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I don't fully understand why you want to be closer to it now that you're there, right? If you're in America. But no, I don't know. I feel like, again, you have a different experience because you're back home. I have not been back home in a long time. I've been missing it, though, I have to say. Not the time to go,
Not
not the
the
time to
time to
go.
go. Not the time to
No.
go.
I don't think so. And also, well, also there's this other thing, right, which is important to mention. It's a whole other topic, which is the trying to integrate part. So I don't remember. Oh, I shared this with our friend John. Barleycorn, that I think I talked to him about this. I might be, you know what? I'm not sure, but I shared with someone that that I grew up, maybe this was you, that I grew up learning that if I'm abroad or outside of Israel, I shouldn't speak Hebrew.
Yes, I remember
Did I
that.
say this to you?
Yeah, like
Did I
basically
just
outside of Israel, like you said that they encourage you to speak English so you weren't targeted. I think that was the word you used, which is very powerful.
Sorry, I love that I just confused you with John Barleycorn. It's because you
I see
both look
why.
so much alike.
I know. See, this is my point. People will should not be able to tell the difference between us at any time because I'm exactly the same.
I know. So there's that, right? Like, there's the whole aspect of actually you have to integrate, and it was kind of bestowed upon me, that kind of education, as a, you know, as a very young girl. And there's, you know, there's the language thing, right? Of not speaking. Like, even today, I was in an Uber and I was talking to my mom on the phone, and my mom knows that if I call her from an Uber, I'm gonna speak in English, and she's gonna speak Hebrew on the other end, because I don't want the driver, whoever he is, to hear me speak Hebrew. And that's not paranoia. You might call it paranoia, you might call it Jewish trauma, generational trauma, whatever. But like, it's very clear when I speak that I'm from a part of the world, you know, a very specific part of the world. Even though Americans, I think it's Spanish, which we mentioned in the
Or Irish,
or
right? Or
Irish.
British.
It's the R. It's a funny thing. So yeah, there's definitely that part, and you can't really hide from it, right? Because I have an accent. You know, people here in the tropics in Central America, they think I'm American. You know, I use a fake name in an Uber. I never use my Hebrew name because it's very Hebrew sounding. It's Oy Vey. That's why it's
Right, that's
very,
what it is.
very it's very Jewish. Always use a fake name, always. But in America, they immediately can tell, unlike here with the accent that they think I'm from America, they immediately tell I'm not from there. So I
Yeah,
owe, yeah.
same.
Yeah. Really?
It hasn't been presented to me often, but enough times where, like, I remember sitting, I was at work talking to our CFO, and out of nowhere, she just says, "Where's this accent from? I can't place it." And so that started off this whole conversation of like, I have an accent. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I am delusional, right? I am sure I speak like I'm from, you know, Cali from the Valley, whatever. But I know I don't. I really try to sound American sometimes, but I can't. But with you, it's very hard to kind of pinpoint. When I talked to you for, you know, the first several times we talked, I was 100% sure you're from California. But you know what's interesting? When I speak Hebrew, some people are like, when I speak, you know, speak to Israelis, they're like, oh, you have a bit of an accent. I'm like, shut the fuck up. And it fucks with my head, right? Because like, where do I belong in this, you know? Like, I had weird reactions from Israelis being like, why do you speak English so well? And at this point, I just tell them, I just lie. I just say, oh, my mom's from the States. Whatever, because they can't seem to like grasp whatever trilingual power or whatever. I make excuses.
No. It's a very real thing. And I think that we do actually occupy the same space in that respect. And this episode just became less Minority Report and more about like third culture report, because that's kind of what you're describing. Same way. I mean, I'm not fluent by any means in Filipino, so people can tell, right? And most of it, like many people seem to be surprised when I just start speaking in the native tongue because they assume I'm Japanese or something here. But yeah, so it's like, okay, so I'm not as seamlessly American or English as I think I am when I'm there,
Yeah.
but then I'm clearly also not, seamlessly Filipino when I'm here. And so it's somewhere in between. And while I don't have the same experience of like cultural trauma, I guess, where some of the things that you grew up with like stem from. I can relate in the sense that the reason why English is my first language is because my parents deliberately did not want to teach me Filipino.
You
And it
see,
gets,
that's fucking wild, though.
it's wild. And it gets more confusing because they didn't, you know, when I asked them why, I've never received a clear answer. But it was more like it started off with, and I remember this as a kid, they're like, okay, we're not going to teach you Filipino or speak to you in Filipino because it's going to affect your English. It's going to affect your English accent and your ability to speak English clearly. And so my natural assumption, right, is like, oh, you want me to speak English clearly because you want me to go to the US or something? And then they'll be like, and then they said, you know, no, that wasn't necessarily our plan. So it's like, okay, so you're creating and raising this hybrid child, but you have no reason why, other than that you don't. There were a lot of, they didn't want me to be Filipino. Dad did, because that's what, you know, when you say that you were encouraged to speak English outside of Israel, in that sense, like I did get a lot of you know, speak like this, don't carry this habit, this is a bad Filipino habit, don't do that. So it was almost the opposite. I was discouraged from being whatever pet peeves they had about, you know, natives here.
That's, I don't know.
It's
I said
wild,
it's
huh?
fucking wild because it's fucking wild. Like it's very different from my experience, but it's one of those things I'm like, I can't comprehend, and I feel like I won't comprehend unless I spend like 6 months in Philippines. You know what I mean? I feel like it's something that's, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's more, it's deeply rooted in the culture, and it's something that has probably a lot of nuances, that like
I
the
think
English
so.
vibe, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like the colonial after. Oh, so maybe it is rooted in trauma, but you know,
We go back to colonialism, huh?
it is because, okay, to put it, I mean, I guess in blunter terms, my father is not the first and only Filipino that I've ever met who seems to want to, like, it comes from this almost like self-hate where they want to be as far away from how they see Filipinos being as they possibly can. Whether that's, you know, in dress, speak, appearance, wealth, that's separation.
I mean, I can relate to that. I think in a way, and I don't know what came up for me as you were speaking about some of these things is that there is, at least what I feel, and when it comes to like third culture, I feel like after you live in a place for a while, like live in it, that there's a sense of you have to find certainty in this like very changing, very foreign kind of thing that you're experiencing. I don't know. Like, I had to, like, I really wanted to find myself inside that thing. Cause it's like, it's kind of that thing of like, who am I? Right? Am I this person, that what's my home? Right? What's my home? I've been living in this country for this and that amount of years. I've been talking this language for this and that amount of years. I barely speak my native language, whatever, which is certainly the case for me. And I'm like, oh, okay, so who am I? And that's the way where I found, oh, I'm like, I was more connected to my Judaism during these years than I was connected to my identity as an Israeli, which are interconnected, right? Israel and Judaism. But there was this kind of, okay, let me take a step back from this and explore this identity that can exist also outside of Israel. What is it even like being Jewish outside of Israel? And that's been an interesting experience, and yet, you try to integrate, right? There's this whole conversations that I'm having with myself almost every day of like, are you wearing your Star of David? Are you not?
Oh,
And
really? Oh,
that's,
wow.
dude, every fucking morning I look at my little Star of David and I'm like, And I feel like it's just an ongoing conversation.
Oh, it's not a simple matter of like, am I going to adorn myself with this? It's that there's more substance behind it. Okay.
Yeah, it's totally like, do I it's a matter of, honestly, it's at this point a matter of feeling safe, you know. But like this thing makes me feel safe, you know. This thing is a part of me. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of so many things for me. It's you know, like I had friends, you know, who told me when I was traveling, wear a cross. I'm like, I'm not gonna go that far, you know. I'm not gonna wear my Star of David, but I'm not gonna wear a cross to integrate. I traveled in certain places. I had friends, yeah, just fucking buy a cross necklace,
Interesting.
you know. Cause you can discern at some point, once you talk to me, once you meet me, or once you look at me well enough, you're like, oh, she's Jewish, you know, and you can definitely make the discussion of what is it to be Jewish. You know, some people, you know, stupidly, I would say, think it's a religion, and that's just misunderstanding history. It's an ethno religion, right?
Yeah.
And my ethnicity, and I can certainly tell, you know, when a person is Jewish, you know, so why can't other people? And if other people can't, they'll just stick a star, a yellow, you know, star on you, like Hitler did. So I always have that in my head, always when I'm in a place, even in a fucking meeting, you know. I've had times in meetings where I felt just like, oh, I can't share about this or that, you know, I can't share about my alcoholism here. Am I whatever? I've had many, many experiences like that, and I'm sure, you know, if I had them where people can't discern I'm Jewish for the first time, then they meet me, then I'm sure you've had those experiences, right?
But it comes back to safety for you, is that correct? Like,
Yeah, I would
that's
say safety
where,
is a lot of things, but yeah.
yeah, no, that's a big distinction. I have had experiences like what you said, you know, in the sense of I've been aware in meetings before where it's like, okay, I can't talk about this because people aren't going to relate, or you know, they didn't grow up there, so they're not going to understand that it's not a big deal. So it was more about that. It was more about finding points to relate, maybe not getting the empathy or whatever, because it's a different experience. But to avoid talking about it or to choose to talk about something because it's also related to a sense of safety, like that's heavy. So even with a cross, is it, I'm trying to, because that's not something that I've ever experienced, right? Like when you've been encouraged to buy a cross, was that to somehow like, okay, so when you speak, people will understand that you're Jewish, but if they see the cross, then you'll be safe. Like, is that it, was it a countermeasure or no? Is there, it's not that drastic.
I don't know. I felt like when
Like,
I've
why did they want you
had,
to wear a cross?
first of all, it never came from someone who is Christian or Catholic. It always came from other Jewish friends,
Oh, yeah.
who know that I'm traveling or know that I'm going to this place and that place and are suggesting. If I were to get it from Christian, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Take
See
a
ya.
step back, mister. See ya. Yeah. I think it's just a matter of safety and blending in the crowd. You know, I live in a very much predominantly very, very Catholic country. But yeah, there's certain places where you go to where I listen, when you're Jewish, except if you're in Israel, you are always the minority. People think we're like 200. It's only like what, 50 million Jews in the world? It's like one of the smallest religions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're either like in New York or in Israel.
In Israel.
So there's always that minority thing, right? Even though if you throw a rock somewhere abroad, you'll probably hit an Israeli. It's very much in the culture to travel. But don't throw a rock at
Yeah,
Israelis. Just
let's
I'm
not.
not condoning that. Just
I mean,
that.
I lived in LA for the most of the time I was there, so it's not, you know, I
Oh, am
don't
I
have the
not the first
experience.
Israeli you meet?
You are not,
Am I
you
not the
are,
first
I'm
Israeli you
sorry to
meet? Okay.
disappoint you, love, but
Fuck.
you are not the first Israeli I've met.
I know they're crawl LA is crawling with Israelis, Miami as well. But no, it's very much I guess that the US
Yeah.
Israel connection is very much real. But yeah.
But they make
Yeah,
a
no, I
distinction.
don't yeah.
They make a
What?
distinction too, because like I've
Oh yeah.
yeah, right. So it's like even meeting Jewish people from like who grew up in California and then ones who grew up in Israel, like the ones who grew up from Israel have always been very quick to tell me that we are not the same.
You see, it's again that thing of like, we have to make distinctions. We're obviously the minority in this situation. First of all, the American Jews and the Israeli Jews is a whole other topic that I can talk about.
I'm trying to draw you out. I don't know if you're sensing
Yeah, please,
that
I can tell. I don't want to, because you know what's going to happen if I talk about this, I'm just going to end up talking about food again, because that's the main thing that comes up for me. But I literally had a friend tell me, and not just another friend tell me, which is the rabbi's wife, and I'm friends with rabbis. It's fine. It's okay. They both told me, you seem more American Jewish than Israeli. I'm like, oh, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I make a mean shakshuka. I guess I am Israeli. But what are we talking about again? Minority Report?
I
Yeah.
think we're kind of there, though.
I guess this is it. I don't know, man. I've embraced it. It also, there's the whole part of it. I don't know if you got this. I cannot wait to hear you talk about this. Of like, oh, you're exotic.
Yes. Very, no, very rare. I mean, usually it's about the women, right? Like people are like, oh yeah, I love Filipino women. They're so exotic. But maybe like one or two times that descriptor has been applied to me, and it's strange.
When you said about the women, I'm like, yeah, it's like the women you dated. I didn't think about Filipino women because I've had that with men, certainly. Of like, oh, you're so exotic. And I'm like, I never grew up thinking I was exotic, but let me just spice up the accent here if it's doing anything for you.
No, that's actually
Whatever.
happened. No, that's actually happened. Like in the sense that, like, dating people in the, yeah, like dating one American person in particular that I can think of, because other than that, it's been other minorities, right? But it was very clear that I don't even know how to, like, this is a person who was, she always dated outside of her race. And so there was that shock value, if you want to call it that, that her family was kind of used to. And I was just like the latest minority that was coming to Thanksgiving.
Oh, they listen. I have so much to say about this, but this is just gonna become a whole dating podcast.
But it
Oh
goes
my
both
God.
ways, but it does go both
Oh
ways,
yeah. Oh
right?
yeah. I mean, 100%. First of all, I can say I don't appreciate men fetishizing me or whatever, but
Yeah.
then like I keep dating fucking foreigners, so to speak, so I'm
So
the
to speak.
problem, I guess.
Yeah.
Not so to speak,
Yeah.
very, very much. Not so to speak. My mom tells me I need to date a rabbi. I tell her, I don't want a fucking rabbi. If you're a rabbi with a green card, you know where
Maybe.
to find me.
We'll consider it.
Oh, man. Oh, it's so funny what you said. Yeah, I've had that. I've had, I can't talk about it, but I've had, how do I talk about this without,
Listen, Vay, it's our podcast. You can say whatever you want and then choose
No,
to
I
edit it or
know.
not.
I know. Just like, I've certainly had the experience of, am I another minority on your list? Like, poor, your middle America mother or whatever, you're bringing another, person with a name that she can't pronounce, which is Oy vey, hashtag Oy vey.
Hashtag.
I was born with a hashtag. It's a common practice in the Middle East to put a hashtag.
Except it's called pound there or whatever.
Don't know. I don't know. The British fuck everything up. And
You're
that's a
we're very
fact.
close. We're very close to having another conversation though that goes into gender, right? Because we can talk about this, the objectification of like our heritage or our culture, but I know it's a very different experience being like a woman and being fetishized in that way as being like just like the token Asian boy that somebody like is bringing. It doesn't, it doesn't bother me in the same way.
First of all, I don't like
Yeah.
that you assume that I'm a woman. I identify as the fourth edition of the Big Book.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a millennial, so I'm very stuck in like binary concepts.
I know. I keep reminding myself every morning I wake up. I say Modani, which is the Jewish prayer. The first thing you say in the morning, you thank Hashem, you thank God for bringing your soul back into your body. And then I think, oh right, Pirate Mike's not a millennial. Pirate Mike's not a millennial. But and I said that five times, and then I continue on my day. Sorry, you were saying?
And then I appear for a podcast recording because that's what you do.
Yes,
Five times
it's my
incantation.
magical powers. We have
Yeah.
established that I'm a voodoo queen on our, personal conversations,
We have, yeah.
which we don't record
Voodoo is
yet.
a lesser known practice in Israel, but
It's fine. We have free speech there, kind of.
you said something in an episode once, and I'm just gonna say it. Like,
Okay.
you said that when you've attended meetings, you get received, like people read you as white, or people have read you as white.
I feel so uncomfortable doing that conversation because I
Right?
feel like it's
Which is like the opposite
I...
of my experience, where like I'm walking in just kind of assuming that I'm gonna be read as white. And I'm not.
Dude, but that's the thing. That's exactly what we're talking about. You're used to a majority experience,
Yes.
or whatever, even though. Even in your own country, you're mentioning, especially when it comes to the English, and the
Yeah.
fact that you have lived in the States for years on end, that you experienced that. But this is exactly what we're talking about. It's like, oh, like I'm actually, not this thing, Sometimes it makes me feel like a special snowflake, as every sponsor in the world likes to say.
Like in a good way?
No, I mean, I don't know,
No.
maybe. I don't know. I guess you have to embrace it. But yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like, I don't know. I just like, oh, like you're an American. You know what I mean? You're from the United States. That's how I look at, I don't know. I'm like, how strong is your passport? I guess that's my level of judgment. That's how I judge people. I don't know.
So it's a surprise to you when other people receive or read you in a certain way.
Okay, let me get serious. It's just it comes back to, I think, the cultural thing, right? And how there are certain just ways of thinking that are just they're not gonna fly, right? Like I'm in a Catholic country. Sunday is a day of rest, and always for me, Sunday is go, 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 because Saturday is a day of rest, So there's just certain things that are engraved, I think, at least I can speak for myself, that don't really change, and I think that the understanding of oh God, I'm so uncomfortable. The understanding of race, where I'm from, or at least the way I grew up, is different than what people what's the word I'm looking for? Like kind of talk to me about or project to me about, because that's their own idea of race.
Oh yeah.
So
Yeah,
what are
yeah.
the questions again? Are Jews white?
Yeah,
Is
exactly.
that the question?
No, I'm not saying that. I remember when you were
Hey.
saying that you were being read as white, then that was your joke, was like,
Is that
so
what I said?
this goes into this whole topic of like, are Jews white? And we didn't resolve it, and I don't expect to resolve it here, but I mean, that's the
Okay.
experience.
I feel like there's great resources if people actually want to talk about this, right? But the main thing that I think needs to be understood here is context, especially historical context, as I mentioned, about what is race and what is black and white. And we cannot put, I think, our modern ideas or our very Americanized ideas on, I mean, sometimes we just do, right? Especially if we live in a certain place, but I don't feel like that's fair, because that's not what it is in that context.
Oh yeah.
No, technically no, Jews are not white,
No,
okay? Like
yeah,
no,
for
because
sure.
if we talk about race the way in the context, no, do I look pale as fuck? Yeah, but I don't think of race in, oh God, in terms of black and white, I don't know. I'm digging myself into a
I
big
know. And actually,
hole.
it's really interesting because, like, they can't see, but in this moment, you're actually darker than I am. And that's going to blow somebody's mind.
I think I got a nice
You
beach tan.
did. Yeah, it's like a nice honey
There we
tone
go.
beach tan. Good for
There we
you.
go. I know, slay. But yeah.
So we're talking about things to, and I think you get pretty close to it when you talk about like the American eyes, or I forget how you phrase it, but that's basically it, right? It's the, I'm not Wikipedia, wink, wink, like I'm not an authority, so I'm not gonna like,
Yeah.
but from my personal experience and just my imagination, I think that it's close to that. So when you're talking, I think of like, the history of immigration into that country, and people needed to be checked into a certain box and categorized in a certain way in order to come in. And I think that kind of
Yeah.
spills over, right? So there's always a, what are you? Are you this box or are you that box? That's just ingrained in the culture in a different way, but also a similar way here. When I talk about things of like, whether it's my dad or other people who want to separate themselves from their identity, which you said, like it's not something, it's a foreign concept to you, but that also comes from the history. I, not speaking as an authority, but for me it makes sense that after 300 years of colonialism, where like only person people who look a certain way or come from a certain place are able to enjoy wealth, when that is granted, to certain people of that actual country, then the separation starts. I don't want to be like everybody else. Like, I want to enjoy the privilege that these other people do. I want to be closer to them. I don't want to be down here. I want to be up there. And over generations and years, that becomes part of a thing for people from that country too. So it's the history, right? The perspective is framed by historical context.
Yeah, no, maybe it is all about, generational trauma, or at least you're informed, about what your, great 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 grandparent, bestowed upon you or whatever. But I don't have great grandparents, so it's fine. I'm allowed. Listen, don't look at me like this. I'm allowed to make those jokes. Oh man.
I don't know how far back I can go. Like, we'll just go back to that slave name joke, right? Like, I don't know where this comes from.
I don't know who gave this. I don't know what this slave
Somebody
name is.
thought
It's my
it was a
slave
good
name.
idea that,
I.
I think I'm, like Pirate Mike may be closer to the truth than I am aware
Than you care to
sometimes.
admit. I. You are saved on my phone as Pirate Mike. I hope you know that.
That will bring me so much joy in the days to come.
That's all it took.
Yeah.
Oh man.
One of the things that you, before we started recording, right, you were like, I don't know how we're going to tie recovery into this discussion of being a minority. But I think we kind of did, especially when you're saying how you didn't share about certain things because you, for whatever reason. And that made me think about early recovery for me. Mostly the so one of the slogans that I got over and over again, and I think it's because all my sponsors were white, was the like look for the similarities, not the differences. It was always about looking for the similarities and not the differences. And I know where it's coming from. It's this, and it makes sense, like this idea of like Pirate Mike, like don't be so conscious of your obvious differences from like the other white people in this meeting so that you miss out on the solution, right? Like don't let those distinctions take you away from what I've come to know is a universal idea. But it can be very difficult, or it has been before, difficult for me not to let that get in the way because it does present an obstacle in the way that I'm able to express. Separate topic completely about how much I should be allowed to express myself in a meeting of Alcoholics
Yeah,
Anonymous, right? But
probably zero in
probably
terms of
zero.
actual self-expression.
But like as a newcomer, it was really important to me.
Yeah.
And when I'm constantly filtering what I have to say because I think it's going to be taken a certain way, that affects the experience of it.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. But you know, you're saying, I've heard that a lot, right? The similarities, not the differences. And I agree, when you're a newcomer, I understand where they're coming from, but also, the differences are not, you know, less wonderful than the similarities. And the differences are what allows me to, you know, have kind of an individual sense of self, right? Unity, 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 whatever, group conscience, whatever, the newcomer. My individual experience, you know, ties into, obviously, you know, it's, I don't know if I'm saying this the way I want to kind of, or the way I'm trying to express what I'm feeling around this, but like, yeah, I am different, and maybe this contributes to my relationship with God.
Oh, I love that.
You know, maybe this is a part of me. You know, it's that thing of don't take away from people's spiritual experience, right? So it's, to me, it's one of those, like, yeah, right? Like, what does that mean in my relationship with God, that I am alone in this country where I know, you know, five people? You know, it comes back to this, because it always comes back around to God. And for me, there's a sense of, okay, I am not from my country here. I'm not in my country. I am in this place. And I better embrace it, because it's an experience not everyone gets to have, right? First of all. And also, I love it, and I embrace it fully and wholeheartedly. There's parts of it which I don't like, right? And I joke about that. But also, like, yeah, like, I'm here with God, you know, let's go, you know, kind of thing. Like, do I'm not gonna lie, right? I miss my family a lot. I even miss my country, which is a lot for me to say, because I have this thing about going back home, and I feel like I'm building a future in another country, and there's so much that I'm putting into it, you know, and putting into building that basis for my sobriety and my recovery and my life with my higher power. But I miss my country. I miss my I yesterday I thought about the Wailing Wall. I'm like, oh, I would have never, never in my life would have felt yearning to go pray at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, if I was in Israel right now. You know, so there's that, and everything can kind of exist at once. Yeah. Are you happy that you're back home now?
That is maybe the most profound question in all the episodes so far. Am I happy? I'm happy in my present. Because if I just think about, like, am I, you know, no, if it's just the fact that I'm at home, no, because my idea of home isn't tied to just one place, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
For years when I was over there, you know, I thought of the connection that I have with the land here, not necessarily the people or the culture, but the land. I
Yeah,
think for
yeah.
me, it always goes back to that. And then living here, it's like, okay, satisfied the fulfillment of being closer to the land, but I still feel very foreign. And so I miss the US, and you and I have talked about this, but like, I miss things like the structure that they have there. It was easier for me to, like, I'm more familiar with it, but I miss the land.
Ah, dude, you hit the nail on the head there for me. 'Cause like, I don't know how to talk about this kind of thing sometimes without sounding like an utter asshole, right? Honestly, like, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily, I miss certain people, right? But I don't know if I miss the whole thing. Like, there's a yearning for the land, for like the land, or like the view of your youth, right? The pictures of your youth where you grew up.
Yes.
But then I don't think I necessarily, when I'm there, last time I was there, I can certainly say I didn't feel, oh, you know, I'm at home, whatever. Because home, again, If your higher power goes with you wherever you go, then what is home, right? Is it where, I don't even know what it is. You know, is it where your family is? Is it where you have meaningful experiences? Is it where you rent? Because if it's where you rent, I have homes in about like 20 different, you know, because I've rented places. So it's like sometimes I feel. So for example, here's a good one. Like I went to the beach like you know, a week ago. Just for a vacation, and I used to live on the beach here, and it felt like a homecoming. Literally driving on that road, going back to the beach, I'm like, ah, I'm home again. I wasn't born there, you know what I mean? But I'm like, ah, I'm gonna see all my friends, and I'm gonna go to this place, and I'm gonna sit here, and I'm gonna, you know, whatever. So I guess it was an inevitable thing to get to if we're talking about Minority Report, right? If we're talking about being from one country and going to the other, and who are you and what are your roots, right? Rooted, but you flow kind of thing. I don't know.
No, you're, and it, what you said, and you said this before, like, wherever you are, if God is with you, right? So am I happy that I am home? I think that it took coming home and the experiences that I've had since then to get me to a point where in the present, I am more wholehearted than I've ever been. And it's not necessarily because I'm in a certain place. But because of like where I am with in my relationship to God and how that connects to like me feeling I have a more solid identity of who I am as a person or whatever, like it's all coming together.
I mean, very beautiful. Is it like, do you feel happy because you're next to a Jollibee near you?
I am, although I think
I had to
it's
Google
yeah,
the
the Jollibee. I am. It does feel nice to have a Jollibee next to me, but then you know what feels even better is that the McDonald's is a little closer. So
I
do with that what
think.
you will.
I guess home is where food is, and it always comes back to that with me, right? I don't know. I don't know. You can't really find kosher food here. It's a whole mess.
It's a big deal. I'm not as, and we've talked about this. I don't like I and I think I've said like in this podcast that sometimes I see the passion with which you talk and think about food and I'm like, oh, I wish I could feel that way. But while I can't speak as enthusiastically as a foodie as you can, here's one for you that comes with food. Like my marriage to my previous marriage to an American, one of the big reasons why it fell apart was over food.
We're gonna have to cut this podcast at some point so I can hear that full story.
No, because we weren't on the same page with food. And I felt as if I had, well, I was dramatic and drinking, right? So the word was, it felt like I was now forbidden from eating, like I'd never have Filipino food again. Because it wasn't something that they were into. And that became a big fucking deal. As much as like, I'm not that much of a foodie, like that was a big deal.
Oh man, I don't know. I can't imagine that version of you. What did you say? Like dr drunk and dramatic trademark?
Drunk and dramatic? Yeah.
I don't
Drunk and dramatic, Mike.
know.
Dad, Mike.
That part, Mike. No, but I mean the food thing. I mean, I will touch on it a little bit. That obviously is that it's a little bit of home with you, right? When you cook certain foods and you eat certain foods, I can say to you that everything that I know how to cook and I cook on a regular basis is just what my mom cooks. It's a worse version, a much worse version of my mom's cooking, because I'm just trying to recreate what she cooks, so I'll feel at home, you know. But when I did go home, it was like a year and a half ago or whatever, I'm like, oh mom, can you make this thing? Can you make me this thing? And I'm like, oh, this snack and that snack. Like that's a big part of it, right? When I find like an Israeli snack or something somewhere, I'm, oh my God, and it costs like a lot, right? Because it's like imported or whatever. I'm like, oh great, like I love these fucking things.
That's a part of home. It's a big part of home. I don't need to be a
Yeah.
food snob. I guess that's my point. Like, I don't need to be, I don't actually need to be a food snob to appreciate food. Like, just knowing that I can
That felt like a jab
eat
in the
it.
stomach. Man.
I struggle
I
with
don't
it.
know. What, with food?
Well, yeah, because I'm like, should I be more should I be more distinguishing? Like, is that a, well, because separate podcast about insecurity, but it's like, should this stuff actually matter? But
Yeah.
that's beside the point. It's, I do, there's a joy that comes out of eating food that I love, have a connection to. Just having it in my life can be very comforting.
Yeah, I feel like it's a big part of, like, as I told you, like that thing I carry with me. Yeah, I carry my hair pal with me, but also probably a jar of tahini or whatever. That goes
Said
with
like
me
that,
everywhere.
tahini. Did you say tahini?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm speaking American English. Should I switch? Should we do an episode in Spanish? But honestly, it seems like, I don't know. It seems like it's easier to be Jewish in the US than it's like it's very easy to be Jewish in Israel, and it's very easy to be Jewish in the US because all I literally had a conversation with this with the rabbi. I'm like, oh, it's so easy in the US. Everything is kosher. Everything is checked. Everything is like perfect. Like, I wish. It's such a nightmare outside of those two
Really?
places, I feel like, yeah.
Oh, because in the US it's like it's organized, like it has its place and it's properly like shelved or whatever. Is that what you mean? Like the access is, you
It's
don't have to think about it.
yeah, here it's impossible to get. And also they're like almost everything is kosher, you know?
Yeah.
Like companies make things kosher, like they have the incentive, they have the clientele. And apparently he told me that people think kosher food is like healthier, which I'm like, that makes no fucking sense, but it's not the worst Jewish stereotype.
Yes, I've heard
Explain
that.
this to me.
I don't, I
Why?
can't explain. I can't explain at all
That's so
because
weird.
I don't have like full knowledge of how we consider like how food is considered kosher, but I have heard that like, oh, and you eat kosher, it's healthier for you. And so it's like, and then the parrot, then you're just parroting. And I hear a lot of people, oh yeah, because you eat kosher and it's healthy for you.
Interesting. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. How can you? Yeah. What else is a thing? I mean, a big thing for me that I found that I've been doing lately is that, okay, wherever I go, I'm going to have a mezuzah on my door, which is that thing that Jewish people have on their doors. I don't know. Fucking Google it. I don't care. I didn't refer to you. I was referring to the whoever is going to listen to this podcast, the three people who listen to this regularly, which is like you and my mom or whatever. I don't think my mom listens to this podcast. Hi, mom. If you are listening to the podcast episode, I love you. I miss you.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, John. Thanks, Joby.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't even know if they listen to it regularly
They
on a
don't.
regular basis. No, they really don't. Yeah, so like having that little reminder on my door has been a big thing. Even though here it's the same thing. I was super happy when I saw that the mezuzah is hidden by how my door frame is built.
Oh.
Because I'm like, oh great, it's hidden. I'm like, oh God, you're such a bad Jew. I'm like being embarrassed or whatever, you should be proud and stuff like that. Or not embarrassed or like scared. I'm not embarrassed. Embarrassment won't kill you. Not that I know.
That was loaded. I'm like,
I
I'm wondering whether
mean,
to jump on that or not. But it's not the point. The point, your point is, yeah, it comes from a place of safety again.
yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, it's a thing. I can talk about it because it's things I still talk to myself about and to some friends. It's not like a thing that's like definitive for me. I think it's something that changes. I think it's quite normal given like everything. To just like be like, oh, like, do I allow myself and embrace the minority thing, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Or don't I, because I am the minority and I am whatever. And maybe there's a very clear, correct answer, the justice, yes, I will be. Whatever, I will be the most Jewish I can, and I believe that and I appreciate people who do that, but I'm a person and I get scared and I have, my own kind of insecurities. And it's very fear driven, and like I think it's normal to just be like, okay, I don't know. I'm gonna talk to God about it. I'm gonna allow myself to feel everything I'm feeling around it. About being, is minority is the word, right? Like when you're like, yeah, minority.
Yeah. I can appreciate the way you talk about it though, like when you said when you talk about specifically the ease of being Jewish in the US, you know, I don't think like it's like that for Filipinos yet, even though there are a lot of us there, and because the ideas don't seem to be as defined, even among ourselves, even amongst ourselves. Like one of the pet peeves that I have, that I had, when I was there in the States was, you know, I would meet, like there'd be Filipino groups, right, celebrating the culture, celebrating the identity, and a lot of times it would be like, yeah, we're Filipino. We're Pacific Islanders, right? And that's my pet peeve, actually. I'm not going to waste any time. So my pet peeve is like there's a larger than I wish there was subgroup of Filipinos who are like, yeah, we're Pacific Islanders. And it's like, do you know, like, have you looked at a map of the planet Earth? You know, like, how close do you think we are to Samoa and Hawaii? Like,
I
we're
man.
directly north of us is like Taiwan and Japan, and south is like, so we are not Pacific Islanders. We're quite firmly Asian in terms of geography. But
Interesting.
I understand this need to like reclaim or claim native culture when you're growing up far away from your native country. It's just not accurate.
I mean, I God, it's so funny. The whole globe thing. I have a story about a globe later. We'll touch base on that.
So I don't, I mean, I guess all this to say is like it's still what does it mean to be Filipino outside of like I like ube or mangoes and I wear certain fabrics or whatever. I think that's still, there's a lot of it that's still being defined. We're very, it feels like we're very new.
I mean, I guess it goes on to more philosophical discussion is and that is, what is the I? What is the me? I mean, that's what I got. Stop it. That's what I got when you were talking about
That
it.
was sincere.
Yeah, no, I do. I totally meant it in a sincere way. It's like, what is the self? Especially defined by, when it can't be defined by geographics, I guess is the word. And again, I always go back to God, whatever, but whatever, God. But my point is, I think it's like, it's also like, what is your soul? Is a part of your soul? Is it where you grew up? Is it something, else? You mentioned, what makes a Filipino, right? I can be like, what makes a Tico, right? Which is Costa Ricense, what makes a person from Costa Rica, a Costa Rican, whatever. What makes an Israeli an Israeli? And that's, yeah, I think that it delves into bigger things than what you identify as and what other people identify you as. That goes back to just, oh, I'm just me. And I've certainly found that I prefer, again, I think I hold on to certain definitions. I'm a woman. I'm a woman. I'm a woman.
You are women.
Yes, I'm from Israel. I'm Jewish. This is my belief. This is my value set. I'm a sister. I'm a daughter. I'm a friend.
But you're also a child of God. You're also one of the millions of electrons that, when we're right, we're spinning around and we make a prosaic steel girder, right? And I think that's what I
God
found.
damn it.
That's what I found in recovery, and that's my full circle in this discussion. Is like, yeah, there are parts of self, the self-centered parts of self, will have me spinning around on these questions of identity. and try to reconcile that with what I'm experiencing in the present. But when I'm confident in myself through my relationship with my higher power, through my relationship with God, then I'm home wherever I am. I'm wholehearted wherever I am.
Amen. I think that I found that, and yes, we can talk a lot about God, and I feel like we do and we did, because it is about God, and it has to go back to God. But what I did find is that I prefer, even though I have all these definitions for myself that I rely on, is to just represent just me. Not in relation to the country I'm from, because I am not the ambassador of Israel. I've had many conversations with people about this. Like, people expect me to become the ambassador for Israel. I don't think anyone wants that job. I don't think anyone wants to be the ambassador of any country, you know, because we're individuals at the end of the day. So I think a lot of the times, more, you know, yes, there is that fear aspect, but more than that, I don't want to start A, talking about it, right? And B, I'm just me. Let's just get to know me, Vey, my birth name, hashtag, rather than whatever preconceived notions you have about me.
Right.
But you can't escape those preconceived notions because, again, you're not where you're from. Like, you're not at home, you know, you're not when you were born. So all of a sudden you're expected, because you're outside of this person, to be like, hey, like, you are, yes, you are, whatever. If I was the first Israeli you would have met, maybe I would have been your you know, blueprint for all Israelis. But unfortunately for you, that's not what happened.
I mean, I certainly didn't want to start a podcast with any of them, so there's that.
Fuck them. No, we can't end with fuck 'em.
You can. We're good.
Everyone, I'm Israel Chai.